Unlike its competition, Hawksoft definitely treats all of its users as people, as individuals. We're not just a number. Hawksoft listens to us. Hawksoft takes our suggestions and makes them a reality for us. Hawksoft is constantly looking to update its system and make it work better for us. My name's Milena Farrell from Cedar Risk Management, and this is why I chose Hawksoft.
Hey guys, it's Bradley. I want to tell you about Ascend. Ascend is not just another premium finance company. Ascend will solve all of your agency bill problems through automation of invoicing, premium financing, carrier payables, all the way to the end of the workflow. There's a lot of hidden costs with how you're doing business today. AMSs, CRMs can spend more than half the day chasing down payments, following up on non-pays, getting signatures for financing docs. This leads to an overworked, overwhelmed, unhappy team. And guys, you want your team to be happy. Industry's hard enough as it is. We really need them to be happy. As your agency grows, this issue gets worse and worse, and we typically solve the problem with a little bit of software, but a ton of manpower still involved. With Ascend, you can use a software-first solution and just need a little bit of manpower, allowing you to grow without significant increase in overhead. Ascend automates all of these repetitive payment processes so your team can get back to helping your clients. With Ascend, we've seen non-payment cancellations in our agency go down up to 95%. Teams save more than 20 hours per month when they work with Ascend, and an average of a 75% decrease in payment-related customer questions. Guys, if people aren't calling your office with questions, you have more time to sell and grow your agency. Visit useascend.com/insurance, guys. Guys, Ascend makes agency bill as easy as direct bill, but you keep all of the benefits of agency bill, the best of both worlds. Thanks, guys.
Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys Podcast, powered by Hawksoft.
God, I love Hawksoft.
My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for iProtect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Mobile, Alabama. Parade first team All-American, Rivals five-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome the incomparable Mr. Bradley Flowers. How are you, Bradley?
Great, Scott. How are you today?
This might be the most listened to podcast in the history of podcasts. Lewis Howes, push him aside. Grant Cardone, push him aside. Tony Robbins, push him aside. Bradley Flowers,
sir.
What may happen on this podcast today may have never been happened before in the history of a podcast. Would you like to know what that is?
I'm a little nervous.
Scott Howell dies live on a podcast.
Okay.
Now, let me explain, folks.
We need a perpetuation plan first. Let's do that real quick.
Probably need to get our lawyers in here, get that going. So here's what's happened. Drove 6 hours down here last night, got to my hotel, unpacked all my stuff. So when you get old, folks, I'm 51, about to be 52 years old. Everywhere you travel, you have to take all of your pills with you, all of your blood pressure medications, all of your anti-nausea medication, all your happy pills, the things that keep you from being depressed, all that stuff has to go with you. Forgot all that at the house yesterday. So I have none of that. I have no control over my blood pressure right now. Now, I know you're thinking, no big deal, no big deal. How's about I play you this little recording from Friday afternoon, folks? Here it comes. Y'all ready? Here it goes. This is Friday afternoon at 4:47 p.m. Hold on.
Hold on. Stay here. Bye.
Are you in a meeting?
Hold on.
This is
So
when was this?
If you missed that, that was at 4:47 p.m. when my doctor's office called to tell me I was at a high risk for stroke already.
When was this?
Friday.
And you forgot your medicine?
Forgot all my medicine. Everything. All I have. So there is about a 76% chance, ladies and gentlemen, that I die live on this podcast. Now, for some of you, that might be a problem, but for me, death is a vacation. I would be the happiest person in the world if I could die live on this podcast.
That would be the most Scott Howell way to
if
die.
You know, if you knew my life, ladies and gentlemen, you would have a pair of pom-poms and a cheerleader outfit on right now, hoping that happened.
You know, what pharmacy do you use?
Some local pharmacy in rural Alabama.
Some podunk pharmacy.
Yeah. Like nobody's
Walgreens, like a normal person.
Jones Discount Pharmacy in Arab, Alabama. Look it up online.
Call their pharmacy and see if
tell
they can,
them what.
See if they can transfer. I've done this. See if they can transfer your prescription to Walgreens so you can fill it while you're down here. They'll give you like a 2-day supply.
That sounds like a lot of work. And last time, like 5-10 minutes ago, our guest is, I can see our guest on here. I didn't even have time to get up to go to the freaking bathroom before we brought our next guest on. Yeah, and Bradley's true. Wanting me to go through a 3-hour freaking Walgreens transfer of
I don't mind
pharmacy
you having
drugs.
To hold your TT. I am concerned with you dying, though.
I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I can't wait till that first client calls to yell and scream at me about their homeowners going up $32. And then it gets this voicemail that goes, "We're sorry, but because of all your shitty clients, Scott's dead now. Please go get your insurance somewhere else." I cannot wait. I cannot wait until Miss Jones and her damn water damage claim that she didn't get paid gets to call and hear that.
I've got motivation for you to stay alive.
All right,
imagine all the people that are going to be happy.
That I'm dead, 100%.
So that needs to be your motivation. 100%.
Guys, we've got an all-star guest on the show
today. It's a little easy today.
I am so excited to have this person on the show today. And I am deeply and madly in love. Not only is he a ruggedly handsome man, I'm looking at him on a Zoom screen right now. And I just told him, if I lived in Omaha, Nebraska, we would probably be getting a mortgage together and adopting some little girl from a faraway country together because he is so ruggedly handsome. But his bio, guys, you know how people leave a legacy of success, a trail of success? Listen to this. Listen to this. Y'all got to hear this. He is originally from Kabul, Afghanistan, and he currently resides in Omaha, Nebraska. He is married to the beautiful Michelle, and they have 3 beautiful babies. Sophia, age 6, Jonah, age 4, and Mateo, age 2. Guys, do me a favor and go hug your daddy's neck when he lets you listen to this and tell him how proud you are of him. I can promise you one thing. If you go hug his neck and tell him how proud and how much you love him, that would mean more to him than any Christmas present you could ever give him. And you should go do that because he's accomplished a lot in his life. He is a graduate of Nebraska Wesleyan University in political science. And here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. He's originally a refugee from Afghanistan who is literally living the American dream. His family's house got bombed in the early 1990s when he was 2 years old. And the Taliban came and tried to invade Afghanistan. His family escaped and went to Pakistan for 12 years. And in 2002, they were able to hit the jackpot and were awarded refugee status to the United States of America. Today, he is the founder and CEO of Quotimation Tech Platform, CJ Insurance Group, and Jeffrey Insurance, along with a number of host of other insurance agencies and companies. His podcast, Insurance Producers Podcast, has listeners all over the world, and he brings a roll your sleeves up attitude, modern vision, and high energy to his 100-person organization. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today to introduce to you first-time guest on the IGP, but I can promise you it will not be his last, Mr. Cyrus Jaffrey. How are you, Cyrus?
I am doing great, man. Thank you guys so much for having me. Man, everybody says this all the time. When you do the bios, it's kind of like you just have to be the best bio ever, and you delivered, my man. Appreciate you.
Dude, I've got so many things I want to talk to you about, but before we do all that, you know, I read the part about the Taliban coming in, invading Afghanistan. I had friends over in that region of the world for a long time. Tell me a little bit about that transformation, that journey that probably changed your life, whether you wanted it to or not, from, you know, Afghanistan to Pakistan and then getting into the United States. Just give us and you could probably talk about it for 6 hours or 12 hours, a little flavor of what that was like.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you, man. I remember everything, but
you were a baby.
At 2 years old, man. But what's nice is I'm in the middle. I just finished my book, and it's going to get published here. It's in the middle of getting published, and I've learned so much in the last 6 months to a year because the writer who wrote my book interviewed my dad, who lives in Afghanistan still. My uncles, my aunts, and all of them are still back in Afghanistan, and just really kind of got into the gritty nitty of everything, right? And I've learned so much in the last 6 months to a year. But I tell you, man, pretty much we were sitting there having dinner, and then our house got bombed as my dad walked in and was like, "Hey, did you hear that our next door neighbor's house got bombed?" To my mom. And my dad's like, "Hey, I'm going to go help kind of clear some of the bodies." And my mom was like, "Well, no, dude, you got to get us out of here. Like, I've got she's pregnant at this point with my younger brother, who is my co-founder of Codemation. And it's me and then my older brother. No, you got to get your kids out of here. You can't go help people," right? So as soon as he said that, bomb hits our house. Somehow we made it, you know. My mom walked for 2 weeks to get us to a helicopter. This is the best part of the book, I promise you. We get to the helicopter after 2 weeks, paid $50,000 to get in and escape from Afghanistan to Pakistan. We get in the helicopter. We get in. There's five helicopters. We get up in the air. All five of them get hit because the Taliban does not want us to leave, obviously. Four of the helicopters fall in the Kabul River, which is right next to where we were. Ours hits the bottom. It kind of goes around a couple of times, gets back up, and just goes. And somehow, man, we made it. So my ride from when I was 2 years old to today is, man, like, I am living American dream. I shouldn't be here. I'm here. And my life has turned into, like, how can I bring positivity? Because God had a reason for me for being here. And that's kind of the bottom line, man. We've been to Pakistan for 12 years, tried to be a refugee for 10 years because my aunts and uncles live in the U.S. at this point. And hit the jackpot, came here at 14, knowing no English whatsoever, single mom, five kids. And found a way to make it happen. And here we are, man, living the dream. All four of my siblings work for me right now in the office, which is incredible.
So at 14, when you get to the United States, I'm assuming you went to public 14 is like, that's like eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I bet that was an interesting first year of school for you in the United States.
The worst part about coming here was coming at the time we did, because 9/11 happened, right? September 2001. And we moved here May of 2002. And we go into a school that's 99.9% white community in Lakewood, Colorado, called Wheat Ridge High School. Man, it was rough. It was rough to go. I went to high school, and the reason I went to high school is because I could, you want to go to eighth grade or ninth grade? And we didn't have transportation. And my brother was going to be a sophomore. So I said, "Hey, I'll just go to high school because my brother I can walk with my brother." So that's kind of the reason behind it when I went to high school. So it was one of the toughest times for the first freshman year. Was probably the toughest time of my life. And because you don't understand the language, you're like, why are these people not liking us? Why are these people so mean, right? They speak a different language. You're in this new country. And there's two sides of this. So guys like me, man, fortunately, I took it the right way. I fought for myself, which is something that I learned throughout the process. But my brother took it to heart, and my brother is a 37-year-old disabled in my mom's basement, brain damage. He got in a car accident. He's pretty much a vegetable, unfortunately. So there's two sides of this. A guy like me, who basically owns a business, employs people, give his family a life here. And a guy like my brother, who had the same path. One person took it a different way. He let it get to himself. He was like, "Man, these people hate me. What am I gonna do?" Got into the wrong crowds, all that stuff. Turned his life completely around. A guy like me on this side saying, "You know what? Screw this. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to find something to believe in. I'm going to find something to push me," which was soccer. Started playing soccer, started making some friends. It's funny how you make some friends. Things kind of just turn around and you have a purpose in life. And that kind of gave me a purpose. And so there's two sides of this. My side's got a better ending, of course. And unfortunately, there's another side as well.
So I have the strangest question anybody has probably ever asked you. Mm-hmm. So being born in Afghanistan, and coming over here to the States, do you guys, you know how when babies are born in the United States, they all have a birth certificate, right? Mm-hmm. But in countries, and I don't know, I'm painting with a big brush here, but in certain countries around the world, that whole birth certificate thing is just not as big a deal as it is in the U.S. where, you know, as soon as you're born, basically you get a social security number. So when you were born and your siblings were born in Afghanistan, do they have anything like that? Or is it just like, take somebody's word as to how old you are?
best question you've ever asked me, honestly, because I don't know how old I am. I'll be honest with you. I think I'm close to where it would be. But when our house got bombed, everything was gone. But there is no birth certificates, any of that over there. But you at least have some kind of like, okay, they know kind of how old you are or whatever. So when I ask my mom all the time, or my dad or my uncles, they're like, well, there was this one summer, it was summer, right, and your dad was in the military and your uncle was working at this place. I'm like, that doesn't tell me how old, because their years, like, they're behind. They're like 1792 in Afghanistan.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know how to translate that into how old that. So to this day, like, I honestly have no idea. So when our house got bombed, we went to Pakistan, we pretty much had to like make birthdays and ages for all of our siblings, because we have no idea.
Right, exactly.
Luckily you were, or I guess not luckily, but you were around two. I mean, it's,
yeah,
if you were 14, it would probably be a lot harder for them to figure out, but you at least know house was bombed at two, so you can kind of count from, so that's how you're pretty close, I'm guessing.
Very exactly. It's within a year or two.
Yeah, within a year or two.
Is right. That the your experience at school? I know some successful entrepreneurs that had sort of rough school years and use that to sort of drive them now. Is that motivating for you, some of those hard times? And if it is, what's more motivating, that or the gratitude of just the fact that you're here?
Man, I wish I could answer that one way or another. For me, it's a combination of both. And because, man, I like a guy from Afghanistan living in a West Omaha, Nebraska, three kids with a roof over my head, man, I'm like, I cannot be any more grateful, right? And then when you come here at 14, I was pretty smart, because I'm like, look, I'm 14, even though like I cried for 3 months because like I didn't want to be here, right? Like I knew Pakistan was my life. I had no idea US was going to be good for me, right? So I was grateful, because now like I potentially could make a life out of myself, like, but I couldn't do that back home, right? So I had that gratitude always, that potentially was in the back of my head. I was always grateful. But man, I love when people doubt me, man. And that's one of the reasons it drives me every day, man. I wake up to this day, man, like, you know, like I was a captive agent. I'm on this side, and in the market, there's a lot of buzz about when you leave a captive channel to the independent channel. Whoa, like what, you left that? Like what happened to this or that? And you will never be as good as we are and all of that stuff, right? So like, man, every day I wake up, there's a chip on my shoulder, right? Because I will never be one of like you guys, right? Like I never will be, because I have a past that tells me that I'm not one of you guys or anybody else. I'm just completely different. And I always have to wake up every day with a chip on my shoulder saying, okay, I'm already behind. How do I not get any more behind? How do I keep chipping at this to get to the next level? So both of those, a combination.
Cyrus, can I give you a different perspective that I want you to think about for a second?
Please, please.
So 100% understand exactly what you're saying right now, but I want to add to your perspective and say this, okay? So I grew up in rural Alabama in a town of 4,000 or 5,000 people. And inside the United States of America, 1,000% agree, you know, you're coming over here from Afghanistan. But when you grow up in rural Alabama, the town that Bradley grew up in, my gosh, I mean, that again, that's another town that's like very rural, has a huge state penitentiary there. But I think in some ways we feel the same way that you feel, because people in other areas of the United States have this stigma that people in Alabama all, you know, are redneck, stupid some bitches that have sex with their sister and live in a house trailer. So when we go to places like New York to go to Manhattan to meet the CEO of Lloyd's of America, I think there's a certain level of that same feeling that we have, that people think we're just a bunch of dumb rednecks down here that have no idea what we're doing. And I'm to some degree, I guess they're right. But it's a feeling that I think we can empathize. I can empathize with.
I agree with you. We can empathize, but I think what he dealt with is 100 times worse.
I don't mean to minimize that.
I totally can empathize with the perspective.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It's a, you know, when you're born in the Southeastern United States in a rural town, you know, you're fighting this, oh, well, they're just a bunch of dumbasses down there. Nobody, they don't know what they're doing. We don't need to listen to anything they say. Would you, I mean, right? I mean, isn't there a little bit of that in your DNA when you're born down here?
For sure.
I mean, even the people that we're friends with in the insurance industry, I think sometimes I look at them and think, you think I'm just some stupid redneck from Alabama, don't you? I mean, it happens to me a lot, but we got a lot to talk about today, man. Got a lot to talk about today. So let's go back in time for just a second. I know you were State Farm at one time. I saw that on your resume of success, and you've got all these different businesses and things that you're doing. So from Scott's perspective, I barely have time to run the agencies that I do own as part of iProtect Insurance. How do you find the time to be involved and make time for all of these different ventures and businesses that you are a part of? Because that wildly interests me about people as well.
Great question. I think one of the biggest things for me is I live with this motto, man. I would rather have a piece of a watermelon than a full strawberry mentality. Mm. I really find success in other people's success. I truly love that. Like, as I became a leader, as I became a CEO of an organization that has whatever, so many different organizations underneath, man, I just, one of my favorite things, because we're salespeople, man. I enjoy, I'm the one thing I miss the most. I haven't written a policy in 3.5, 4 years. I miss so much of that, like, feeling of like getting a closing an account, right? Because there's no feeling like it, like, at all, man. So that's the one thing I miss the most. So I've really enjoyed learning from other people and then basically just sharing their success, if that means. So that's the only way to do it, man, if you think about it, because you can't be in the day to day as you're running, you know, 12, 13, 14 different organizations. So for me, one of the crucial thing was I needed to make sure we have a system and a process in place and then the leadership in place as well. So any organization we start, there's always a CEO for it, a right-hand person, and then basically a CSR or an account manager, if that makes sense. Like, if we don't have those two or three things, we just don't start an organization because it's going to fail because I don't have time to obviously do it, right? So that's the only way to be able to have the success that we're having and some people that have larger organizations is they've basically stepped out and say, listen, when Sherry is yelling at you, when John is yelling at you for your billing and all that stuff, I don't want to hear about it. Like, that's the last thing that I'm ever going to hear about. Mm-hmm. And it's also like giving a little bit to these people to say, hey, okay, today for this month, I want you to handle this. Then this month, then give them more responsibility. So we did that the first 2 years, is basically got a couple of our leaders in our organizations, give them more leeway to say, okay, go do this. Hey, I need to take a day off. I'm like, okay, you can make that decision yourself. And then other people started going to it. And I hear Bradley all the time saying, listen, leave for a month. Leave right. for a month. Like, your organization, you will know a lot more about your organization if you just leave for a month. And for me, it's usually the winter. I mean, obviously, it gets extremely cold in Nebraska. So I'm out in Arizona for a couple months, man, and I don't get one call. Because we set up those systems and processes and people in place to be able to handle those. And if you can't do that, you just can't grow, in my opinion.
I got a question.
Yeah.
If Scott Howell, dumb redneck from Alabama, came to work as a business partner of Cyrus's, a team member on one of your teams, what is the North Star? What is the one thing you would impart on me when I came to work there that you would say, Scott, brother, if you don't do anything else here, okay, here's our North Star. Here's what you need to remember. If you forget everything else, remember this. What would that thing be?
If Scott came to me, think big, Scott. I want you to be a leader. When Scott comes to me, Scott, I want you to be an insurance agent for 2 months, but then go find other insurance agents underneath you to grow. And I feel like a lot of people don't do a really good job of that, is to basically tell people, hey, listen, man, like, I'm not going to hire you as a producer for you to be a producer for the rest of your life. So think big, go be innovative. Okay, Scott, you came to me, you're an agency owner. For example, we merged. The first question I'd ask you, I'd say, hey, Scott, go find me some partners, man. Like, think about this, right? So a referral partner can send you, a client can send you 1, 2, 3, 4 leads. A referral partner, mortgage officer, real estate agent can send you 5, 10 leads. A real estate company can send you thousands. So my goal for Scott would be, hey, go find real estate partners, mortgage officers, CEOs of those corporations, big companies, right? Always think big. In our organization, man, there is not one person in our organization that comes in and says, hey, today we're competing against John Doe State Farm agency across the street or John Doe independent agent across the street. We're competing with State Farm as a whole. We're competing with all these, well, we're not competing with agencies in our agency, man. We're comparing ourselves to other companies.
So here's my next question, follow up to that.
Yeah, please.
So you said that you would tell Scott, think bigger, Scott, think bigger. It, would you be telling me that because you know Scott has it in him to think bigger and could do what you're asking him to do? Or is that something you tell all your people that come there?
Man, we all as human beings live on a 40% mentality.
Yeah.
You, like Scott, I promise you, man, you got another 60% in you.
Dude, listen, right now, I want to hire you as my life coach.
Like, especially since you forgot your medication.
Yeah, I want to hire Sire. He is like, you are doing a great job right now of helping with my self-esteem and my energy level. You're putting out real positive energy here. I want to hire
you. You want me
as
to start razzing you? That way we can balance it out.
Yeah, Bradley, start giving me shit here in a minute just to balance it all out.
That's just it. I think a lot of people just think that that's all they could do. Like, this is all I can do. This is all I got. But if you really dig deeper, man, if you think about it, right? So this morning we did a workout at 5:15 in the morning, and a lot of people would be like, well, I can't do that. I can't go for a 6 mile run at 5:15 in the morning. Like, I can't do that. You get on a run, you're with another person, right? You're able to do 6 miles because you're going to be able to do it. If you're by yourself, it gets really tough to do 6 miles, right? So, mm-hmm. And a lot of us, if you don't have that person that's pushing you, that's telling you, hey, you could do it. Look, dude, I'm a guy from Afghanistan, didn't know one lick of English 20 years ago. And if I can do it, I promise you, you all can do it. It's just, we all learn from podcasts and different things. Like, I didn't create any of this stuff. I just learned from other people and I just try to basically copy them. So for a lot of agents, guys, people have done it. Bradley's done it. Scott's done it. Cyrus has done it. Any other, it's just a lot of people don't reach out. And then they get into this basically environment where they're complacent and they just stay there because they don't hang out with those people that pushes them.
My favorite quote is, in school, you got in trouble for copying off other people's papers, and in the business world, you're rewarded for
it. Wow, that's a great quote.
Love that.
Hey guys, it's Bradley. Look, are you tired of spending endless hours searching for potential business prospects? Look no further. With Leo, you can gain access to a whopping 40 million businesses. That's 40 million prospects in just seconds. Say goodbye to painstaking searches and hello to efficiency. You guys know I'm all about efficiency. Leo just isn't about speed, though. It's about accuracy, too. With Leo's cutting-edge tools, you can validate new producers faster than ever before. No more wasted time on unreliable data. Leo's got you covered. But that's not all. Leo empowers you to carve your own niche market using unparalleled data insights. Want to target specific dates for workers' comp? Done. Need to identify brokers or carriers to focus on? Leo has your back. And here's the icing on the cake, guys. Leo lets you search prospects based on size, revenue, dates, violations, and more. The possibilities are literally endless. Step into a world of business possibilities with Leo. Revolutionize the way you connect, target, prospect, and succeed. Don't miss out. Join the Leo community today. Go to meetleo.com, and when you go to book a demo or reach out to them, put in the "how did you hear about us" field that you heard about them on the Insurance Guys podcast, or IGP for short. You'll get 20% off. Talk to the folks at Leo. Highly recommend them. Thanks, guys.
Well, hello there. Guys, excuse me for interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast, but I'm here today to get you out of aggregator and cluster jail. This may be the most important message I've ever delivered on the Insurance Guys podcast. Guys, are you a member of a cluster or an aggregator? Does your contract have exit fees, termination payments, buyback provisions? It's time to get your freedom back and do what we did here at iProtect Insurance. Join the AC, the future of aggregators in our industry. Best decision we've ever made, guys. Best decision we've ever made. No entry fees, small $200 a month membership fee, over 50 plus carriers for direct appointments. And by the way, new ones coming on board each and every month. You keep 100% of your commissions, profit sharing every year. Guys, we have made in the last 2 years, each year, our agency has made over $100,000 in profit sharing. Here's the best part, guys. And this is the part I'm the most passionate about. No termination or exit fees. You give the AC 60 days notice and you're free. You go get direct appointments wherever you want. There's no buyback provisions, no exit clauses. Guys, if you're a member of another aggregator and you have termination fees, buyback provisions, exit clauses, every single policy you write, you're digging that hole just a little bit deeper. And one day you're not going to be able to get out of it. It's going to be too much. You're going to be taking out a second mortgage on your home to try to get out of a cluster group. Unbelievable. Guys, go to acfree.org. That's acfree.org and register. Find out why over 650 agencies and $3 billion in premium have chosen the AC. And guys, here's the best part. But wait, there's more. Mention the Insurance Guys podcast when you talk to these guys and you get 6 months. That's 6 months of no membership fee just by mentioning the Insurance Guys podcast. Go today, www.acfree.org, and let me help you get your freedom back. Have a great day.
So dive into the model a little bit, because your model is, somebody's probably listening to this thinking, okay, this guy's just buying agencies, but it's completely different than that. Like, you're looking for people, you know, it might be a real estate firm, might be another insurance agency. You're approaching this from a completely different angle, right?
Yeah, 100%. And we work with, for the last 10 years, we've worked with mortgage lenders, real estate agents. Like 95% of my agency, I own an agency called Jaffrey Insurance, organic agency here local in Omaha, Jaffrey Insurance. 95% of that business comes from a real estate agent or a mortgage officer. And as far as like back in the day, even when I was at State Farm, you know, 95% of my business was coming from a realtor and a mortgage officer. We were writing them their business. And then from there, they basically started sending us referrals. So when I left State Farm, and that's one of the biggest reasons I left, is because I wanted to create something a lot bigger than mm-hmm. basically like an agency. I said, hey, let's go bigger. How do we think? So we went to the CEOs of real estate companies, mortgage companies, car dealerships, if you think about it, right? Like mortgage companies say, listen, what we could do for you is we can start your own insurance agency. If you think about it, 3 years ago, nobody was thinking about it. Today, every mortgage lender is freaking out. Every real estate company is freaking out. Every mortgage company is freaking out. If you can find them a revenue, a compliant, RESPA compliant way to make them more revenue on the client that they're already selling, who wouldn't do it? Everybody would do it, right? So that's our model, is we go to big real estate companies, big insurance agencies, big mortgage companies, and we do a joint venture relationship with them where we control almost all the time. 51% because some of the licensing requirement and all that stuff. Right. We give them usually 49%, depends on how many transactions are coming through, and we're able to basically share revenue.
So talk about the RESPA stuff. I want you to go into that mm-hmm. because that's a very important piece here. But then what do you say to the agent that, oh, this is unethical, this isn't right, they shouldn't mm-hmm. be able to do that? You know, go through those sort of things. Yeah. Because we've had folks on the podcast before that have done JVs, but we've never had one that's willing to talk about it.
Yeah, I will give you my RESPA attorney's contact information. I could promise you it's legal, because if you think about it, every mortgage company, every real estate company anymore, like Keller Williams, they own an insurance agency. I mean, Berkshire Hathaway, they own an insurance agency. If you think about it, a lot of insurance companies, a lot of real estate companies, mortgage companies, car dealerships, Allstate's inside of so many car dealerships, if you think. So it's definitely possible. It's got to be compliant. So one of the biggest things with the RESPA is everything has to be completely separated. So a lot of people that do it, they may not basically play in the gray area. It's black and white at our place. Every joint venture that you have, you got to treat it as an insurance agency, its own. It's got to have its own staff, its own phone number, its own email address, its own location. So it's basically differentiated from all the other ones. So that's why we have so many agencies, because we have branding for each one of them, logos and emails and all of that stuff. As long as you do that and you obviously fund the accounts correctly and all that stuff, it's completely legal. Guys, in the next 5 years, I would be shocked if not every big mortgage company, real estate company, talk about guaranteed rate. They have their own insurance. One of these people have it already or will do it. And my mission is to get these insurance agents, right, to be able to be the people to go create these relationships versus having all these big tech companies or the mortgage companies themselves saying, hey, we could do this ourselves. Because the problem with them doing it themselves is their retention rate is awful. They can only keep them for 6 months to a year.
We just touched on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so as an insurance agent, you know how to sell, you know how to build the relationship. And the mortgage companies and real estate companies, they're going to want you to do it because you know how to do it, because retention is how they make money. You know, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, I think I said on a previous podcast that's going to actually air after this one. If you're a mortgage company, real estate company, really anything that has that insurance could be vertically integrated in, it's much smarter for you to partner with an existing firm that already has the infrastructure in place, because nobody who is not in insurance looks at insurance and doesn't think, well, there's not a lot of work there. Like, there's a lot of work behind the scenes with insurance that the general public and even people who are in like real estate don't see. And I would argue that someone would make more money taking 49% of a JV with someone than trying to do it on their own. Yeah. Especially when you consider just the operational cost of getting going in the contracts. And, you know, carriers, especially now, carriers don't want to hear, hey, we're a real estate agency and we're going to sell insurance on the side. Like, good luck getting that contract.
Hey, Cyrus, I have a question. I'm going to ask you to pull the curtain back for everybody for just a moment. And I realize that we may be painting with a little bit of a broad brush here, but I have the sneaky suspicion that overall, after you do 3, 4, 5 of these deals, the numbers kind of all look about the same. But how do you said something about you guys, which is smart, keeping 51% of the ownership, and then 49% going to the other entity, the other joint venture partner. But how does the spread work related to commissions and things? How does all that shake out?
That's a good question. And that's another thing is commission is really where it gets a little regulated. So you can't pay an agent and a CEO of a real estate company, mortgage company commission, because that's going to be one of the biggest issues. So you could do distributions. So basically pay everything inside of any expenses and everything, treat it just like a Scott Howell. I protect insurance, and you have a silent partner that's 10% owner of your agency, and you're going to write them a distribution every quarterly, 6 months, every year. That's exactly how you need to do it. And for a real estate broker, you're saying, hey, listen, the only job you have is to send me the transactions. That's it. And I'm going to give you 49% of look what we potentially could build. And that's a really, really attractive for real estate, because a lot of real estate companies, like Scott said, are trying to maybe build a joint venture or themselves. They want to do it. 2 years later, 3 years later, they've shut it down. They don't know how to run an agency. They don't know how to do any of that stuff. So agents are way ahead of the game. But I feel like we need to take advantage of it because it gets too out of control.
Yeah. You see a lot of them sell really fast too. There was a group here locally a few years ago that I happened to go to lunch with the father-in-law of the person who's doing this big home builder. And at that point, they were so far down the rabbit hole of starting this agency. And I tried to talk them into doing something with me. And of course that company sold like 2 years ago. They did it like 2 years. They're like, screw this and let it go. But, and I will say one thing to point out, all the RESPA stuff is out. A lot of this is out the window if it's not related to a real estate transaction. So it could be something else, somebody, you know, maybe a car dealership, right? Or something, you know, something that has a lot of foot traffic, a lot of potential.
But you're still having to pay out distribution.
Yeah, you still got to figure that part out. But as far as like the RESPA stuff is really where you can literally go to jail if you violate RESPA.
100%. 100%. You know? Mm-hmm. So here's my next question. This has always been my big bugaboo about what we're talking about doing. So Cyrus goes to a bank or a credit union or a mortgage lending company or a real estate firm, and he sits down with the powers to be, and he says, hey, Mr. CEO and Miss CFO, and they build a rapport and they build a relationship, and he's saying all this stuff, and boy, it sounds fantastic. It's the perfect blend of we now have our own insurance arm. We make distributions off the business that we send to them. But here's where I see the train running off the tracks, and now we have to call a wrecker to come get it out. You may have the CEO on board and you may have the CFO on board, and you may even have some of the management team on board, but if it's a data processor or a processing person or just a day-to-day person that's actually the one boots on the ground doing these loans, how do you – I mean, I think it's pretty simple that the CEO or somebody sends them an email and says, hey, guys, every person that comes through this door, we're sending to our new insurance agency with the brand spanking new logo. But how do you keep that momentum going 3 months after that email goes out? Does that make sense? Like
100%.
That to me seems like the hardest part of this deal.
Hey, this is where Quotamation comes in, right? So we built a technology, Scott, to make your life extremely easy for an independent agent. And then also we just did a credit union agency in Illinois. We just went into the joint venture with them, with Acuso. And what sold them was, hey, we can embed our Quotamation platform inside of the credit union's website, right? So you don't have to get every realtor, every mortgage officer, all those people onboarded, because the technology is going to do its work. Once the contract goes under play, it's going to come through the technology. The technology is going to quote it out. So our technology, Quotamation, is embedded in there, which for people that don't know, Scott, so Quotamation, like, so for my agency, for example, somebody can go into my website, Jaffrey Insurance, click on get a quote. Within about 30 to 45 seconds, you'll be able to see a home and auto quote from about 6 to 8 different carriers. Your drivers will pull up, vehicles will pull up, VIN numbers will pull up. It has my agency's logo, my agency's colors. It's completely branded. So it looks like it's your own technology, and it just looks so much slicker than anything else. So the technology is what differentiates us. It makes it super simple to sell it to the credit unions, the real estate company, and the mortgage company, because humans don't have to send that transaction to you. That's their biggest, they just won't do it. Humans make mistakes. So if you use technology to be able to simplify that, it makes it extremely easy.
Having everybody on the same platform, it allows you to have one piece of the puzzle handled of like, hey, you're going to be on our system. And I know a lot of people who do like holding company type situations. You know, I'm a big investor and I've got a holding company with other businesses underneath. A lot of times that is the biggest prerequisite is, hey, everybody has to be on the same CRM. Everybody has to be on the same platform.
So help me out here, because I'm just like all these other agents listening to this right now. I want to understand this. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I didn't hear what you said. This Quotamation platform, if I go to a mortgage lender and I'm buying a house, for instance, which not the best time to be doing that right now, but whatever.
Try one.
Yeah, exactly. So Bradley's in the middle of one right now. So who's actually running it? So are you saying that when I get my mortgage documents, are you saying the mortgage lender is going ahead and that information's flowing into Quotamation? And so with their mortgage documents, they'll get quotes from the actual, like, who's doing that side of it?
So think of Quotamation as like the zebra. Think of Quotamation as like a platform online that you can go in and get quotes. Like, you could do it yourself. Sure. So they get an email from the real estate company, mortgage company. Hey, next steps in the process is to get a quote for your homeowner's insurance. And they go click on that, and it basically takes them to the credit union's agency that Quotamation is embedded inside. And honestly, like, every insurance agent in the country could use Quotamation, embed this in their website. So all the work, 90% of the quoting is done, and Quotamation is already integrated with EasyLinks' Rater, comparative Rater, and we're in works with PL Rater. So it's basically your Rater. Quotamation is your Rater. It's your logo. It's your Rater. So all that stuff is basically plugged in, and all that data comes into your CRM and AMS. Also to all the insurance companies as well that you wanted to go to automatically within a click of a button.
It probably gives you a little bit of a value add too when you go pitch some of these organizations, because if it's like, hey, yeah, we're great, let's do this JV. Okay, well, how do you want to send the leads? Oh, just send an email. This adds a level of, you know what I mean, legitimacy to that, you know? So you guys have scaled this agency really fast. How old's the agency?
The agency's 4 years.
4 years old. Okay. Do you care to tell us how big it is?
No, I don't. No, I don't mind. We will do.
And I know, and that's why I want you to say, you know.
No, I'm an open, and I'm actually going to write my next book is going to be how to grow from 0 to 6 million in revenue in 4 years as an insurance agency. That's what the next book is going to be. So we're about 6 million in revenue is what we'll do in 2023, our fourth year, and we're in about 30 different states and all that stuff. But again, you can't do it with one agency. It's very hard, I would say. There are some agencies that could do it. But if you can't think of the mentality of like, hey, like, let's combine, right? Let's get to it together. It's just more fun to do it. I don't want to be on the top of a mountain by myself one day, man. I want everybody else with me, my wife, my kids, all my team. And it's a lot more fun than that.
So $50 million in premium in 4 years.
Right.
So
and most of that's been done through joint venture partnerships that basically you're instead of going out and doing all the stuff that most agents do where they
go to BNI groups
and wait on referrals to come in from existing clients and stuff like that, you're saying, hey, there's a hand in glove relationship here. Let's partner. And through this Quotamation platform and through our automations and through setting this up through our RESPA attorney to make sure this is all compliant so nobody gets in trouble, we can easily capture a lot of this business that otherwise would just go to the local State Farm agent down the road.
100%.
Yeah. But I think for the partner too, it's controlling that process. You know, I think the reason Keller Williams created Keller Covered is not to make an extra $150 on top of a real estate transaction. Right. It's to control the process.
Right. So one thing I wanted to tell all these agents listening to this is Cyrus threw out an acronym about 10 minutes ago that I want to back up and let them know what it was. He mentioned that they partnered with a credit union, which is one of the many referral partners that you could do a joint venture with. And he threw out the acronym CUSO. And I don't know that a lot of people understand what that means. So that's a credit union service organization. Basically, what that is every credit union, because they're nonprofit organizations technically, has subsidiary service organizations. I think one of their most profitable is their wealth. A lot of them have a wealth
management
CUSO. They all call them CUSOs. Credit Union Service Organization. So what he's doing is instead of the CUSO signing up, because there are a couple of different service CUSO type companies out there that I hear a lot of credit unions joining with that have like a very affiliated loosely type thing where they'll send out a letter saying, hey, as a member of blah, blah, blah credit union, you qualify for a discount on your home and auto insurance, just click here. And I can't remember the name of those places, but it's not a like literal insurance agency within the credit union or as a CUSO, a service organization, part of the credit union. Does that make sense? I can't remember the name of those two, but I believe there's two that do it.
There's two really large ones. Yeah, that do it. And
don't provide a whole lot of value, really. It's just a way for them to have another additional small revenue stream that comes in and they can say, yeah, we do have insurance.
Yeah, it's like 2%. I think they get 2% commission or something. It's awful. So
it is.
Yeah. So if you have any questions on CUSO or anything, man, I'm an open book and please reach out on that stuff and I'd gladly help whoever needs it.
So do you, you guys partner with other insurance agencies too, right? If there's an agency wants, what are those deals normally look like? And then we got to let you pop off here.
Yeah. Insurance agencies, man, it kind of started just because I left State Farm. And when you leave State Farm, everybody's like, whoa, what happened? Okay, I've been wanting to do it too, but I just don't have the, you know what, right, to do it. And that's kind of how it started. So it became like almost like a small aggregator for us. But honestly, anymore. So we haven't acquired one agency. So our $6 million revenue, man, it's all scratch. Like it's
JV. Gotcha. Okay.
It's all JVs, and then some. There's an aggregator side of it that's a little bit of a business of that. Through the aggregator side, but we haven't done any. Yeah, we've talked to a couple of them, right? And I actually, you, Bradley, we're going to get together and talk about it. But we haven't done any acquisitions yet. It's all JVs and then CUSOs.
Gotcha. Okay. And I know several people or know of several people who've done the whole, hey, we're an aggregator, but really it's an agency kind of thing. And that can work, but you have to be very, very careful because you can get yourself in trouble where you're giving away way too much revenue.
Right.
And you're not actually aggregating premium.
Right.
Especially right now, man.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Right now. Yeah.
It's impossible to get a premium.
Right now, big aggregators are having trouble aggregating premium.
Right.
100%. Yeah. The game has changed, man. The game has changed. But a lot of agencies, smaller agencies, a lot of State Farm guys, Allstate guys, they come to us because we provide Quotamation as an embedded piece that they can use. And any agent can use that. If anybody has any questions on that, man, we'd love to help out there as well. But on top of that, you know, we just teach them. We were with State Farm literally 4 years ago. So we could tell you all the heartaches, all the stuff that you're going to deal with, because we had to figure it out. And we'll gladly share that. And that's why we get some of those people that come on board with us.
Awesome.
Hey, Cyrus, you said to me earlier, I'm going to close this podcast with this question. You said, Scott, if you came to work with me, the first thing I'd sit you down, my North Star would be, Scott, think bigger, think bigger. So let me ask you the same question. Cyrus Jaffrey, I want you to think bigger. What's on the horizon for you if I tell you to think bigger than where you are right now?
Ooh, I love that. I love that question. How do I think bigger? For me, one of the biggest things for me is to simplify my life right now. Simplify my life as much as I want to think big.
Is it tough to balance all the businesses you're involved with and all the work you're doing, 100 employees, with your wife, your kids, your family, mm-hmm. getting to take time off and leave work at work? Is that tough?
It's one of the biggest things for me right now is the way I, so here's me and Bradley talk about this. We talked about getting a jet because we're like, okay, if we get compiled, like 5-6 of us get together, we get a jet. Think about how much time, because dude, for me, I only work 7 hours, right? Like that's all I can work. I'm home at 4:30. When I left State Farm, the hardest job I had was to basically tell my wife, say, hey, I want to leave. And she approves the decision because her dad's a 30-year State Farm agent. She loves State Farm, born red, like all that stuff, right? She said, Cyrus, if you can come home at 4:30 every day, and if you could not work a Saturday, Sunday, you could go be an independent agent. And I just ran, put in my 2-week notice that day, man. I ran. It took me a year to convince her. So for me, thinking big is, okay, how do I combine with the right people, right? Make my life simpler and easier so I can get to the conferences that I need to get to think big. Like you can't think big sitting in my office. Like right. That's really, really hard to think big sitting here. Yeah. You want to be around the table where you're not the smartest person, man. I try to literally live that every day. So for me to do that, I want to simplify my life, but I want to accomplish. I want to be able to go to a conference during the day, do my 4 hours of work, come back in at 4:30 to pick up my kids and do my thing. Like I'm living my, like that's where I'm trying to figure out how can I maximize my 7 hours. So that's how I'm thinking big. And obviously, if I can accomplish that, I know that everything else is going to kind of fall into place because, as I said this before, I don't want to be that agent. And insurance agents are known for like the divorce rate in the insurance world is crazy because when we work too much. We don't know how to stop and find boundaries because when you make a little bit of money, you think you can make more and all that stuff. And you kind of lose track of what's really important. So for me, it's like, how do I do that? How do I accomplish all these things I want to do in life, but in 7 hours, Monday through Friday? And that's a hard task.
I think the divorce rate too is due to all the drunk people at the conferences too.
So maybe I shouldn't go.
Yeah, Cyrus and I did a podcast.
I don't drink at conferences though. But you're right. I do see a lot of people that do. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I have a man. How old are you, Cyrus?
35.
Dude, let me tell you, when you get to be about 50, 51, and you tie one on, I mean, I'm talking about get cruise ship drunk one night, it takes you about 3 days to get over it.
Yeah. Cyrus and I did a podcast. I was on his podcast a couple months ago, and we basically on that podcast decided we would both sell our agencies if we could get unlimited use of a jet. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's for me at least, and I think for him too, it's a practical thing. I would never post it on Instagram, mm-hmm. right?
I just heard the juice has to be worth the squeeze.
It would be able to go, hey, I can go to this Orion 180 thing and still be home, mm-hmm. and then go back the next day. You know what I mean?
So what I've always heard, because I have friends that sell jets for a living, for like $20, $30 million jets. So, well, here's what I've always heard. I've always heard this. If you're the CEO of Brassfield & Gorey, which is a, you know, multi-billion dollar construction company that builds high rises in London, New York, and you're the CEO and you need to jump on a plane and head to Denver, Colorado to talk to the engineers and architects of a building that maybe you're bidding a project on that could land a $500 million construction project. Well, that makes perfect sense, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because the juice is now worth the squeeze. But if you're mm-hmm. going to the Orion 180 conference that you're not getting paid on. Well, that's right. A whole nother deal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I used to use that as an example, but yeah, exactly. The thing you go to has to be worth the $2,500 an hour or whatever it is that it costs.
Cyrus, we love you, brother. Thank you for coming on the show.
Love you guys. Thank you guys.
As I end every podcast, rewards come from action, not discussion. You need to figure out what your North Star is. You need to go out there into the big bad world today. You know, something he said to me, I say it to other people from time to time, especially people that work in my agency. We need to all think bigger. Think bigger. Work smarter. I'm going to tell you what Cyrus Jaffrey's done, folks. He's abided by the old Scott Howell theory of work smarter, not harder.
Yep.
You know, I say this every time we end a podcast, go out into the big bad world, build relationships. That's what he's doing. But instead of building one relationship with one real estate agent, he's building it with the CEO of a major real estate firm that's allowing him to bring in 100 leads a week instead of 3 leads a year. It's working smarter, not harder, is all he's doing. And maybe he's doing a lot more than that, but you know what I mean. Go out into the big bad world, build relationships, think bigger, make money for your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your kids' college fund, for your parents and your in-laws that are struggling out there. Go make money for them. Write good business for the companies that you represent, and write good business for the agencies that you represent. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bradley Flowers, I love you, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Cyrus, we love you too, brother.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys.
Guys, you were listening to the Insurance Guys podcast, and we love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our family. We'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.